And may I just express my thanksgiving to the Lord for permitting me to be with you again in the ministry of the Word of God. And my thanks to many of you for your kindnesses which you have shown. And I always feel sorry for those who choose the short straws, and they have to put up with me on the Lord's Day. But nevertheless, I thank you, and I shall always remember the kind fellowship of this assembly here. And I may add that this series that we've been together for these Lord's Days in November, the Lord has given me a very light heart preaching. What I mean is He has given me much liberty in the proclamation of His Word. And you long for this when you're proclaiming the Word. And the meetings have been a source of joy in my own soul. And out of the overflow of that joy, I've been able to minister His Word. It's not always easy to proclaim the Word. Sometimes it's difficult, but I must say these last 5 weeks have been a blessing to my own soul. And I want to thank you, and I appreciate your prayers. Tonight we want to look at the Gospel of John, and we're going to be in chapter 1. For a portion of our time tonight, we want to examine the conversion of John the Baptist. Let us begin our reading in John 1 and verse 29. Where we read, "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But that he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for that revelation of thyself to the heart, declaring to poor sinners that this is he who commends his love to us. This is he who taketh away the sin of the world. This is indeed the Lamb of God, the Son of Man who will be lifted up, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In these moments before us, as we open thy word, we ask you to take the word and speak to each of our hearts. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we consider the conversion, the experience of conversion that John the Baptist had, it's quite interesting because he's one of those most illustrious characters that comes before us in the page of Holy Scripture. It was the Lord Jesus himself who said, Of them that are born of women, none hath arisen that is greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That which made John the Baptist great was the privilege he had of announcing the Messiah, of making known who Jesus Christ is, as to his person and as to his work. And he did this when he announced, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Well, John the Baptist was unique in this, that he was different than many. He was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. So we read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb the moment he was born. Now, because of this, there are many who think that John the Baptist didn't need to be saved. He already was filled with the Holy Spirit, and so from his mother's womb. But you know, John the Baptist needed to be saved, just like you needed to be saved, and just like I need to be saved. Our Lord said, you must be born again. Our passage that we read from John's Gospel, it reveals to us when John the Baptist was saved, and it reveals to us how John the Baptist was saved. He was saved the same way you're saved, the same way I'm saved, the same way anybody ever was saved. It is by looking to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the theme of the Word of God. To the people of our Lord's day, he could say, as recorded in John chapter 5, and I think it's verse 33, he said, ye search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Scriptures speak of Christ. Christ is the theme of the Scriptures. In fact, Christ as the Lamb of God is the theme of the Scriptures. The Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for us who by him believe in God, as Peter wrote in his first epistle. You see, in Genesis chapter 4, in the offering of Abel, when Abel offered unto God a more perfect sacrifice than Cain, the Lamb of God was typified by the firstlings of the flock that Abel offered unto God. In Genesis 22, when Isaac and Abraham went up the mountain together, here the Lord Jesus was prophesied by Abraham that he would come. God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 12, in the day of the night of the Passover, when the blood was applied by the father of the household to the lintel and the two doorposts, here we have the application of the blood and the safety of those who were sheltered by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a night that was in Egypt when the Lamb was slain and the blood was applied. And you and I can say the same thing as the Israelite could say, those of us who have come to lay refuge upon the hope that he set before us and to be sheltered by that blood. You and I can say, just like they said, such my knight and such my Savior. His sufficiency alone saves my soul from death and darkness. Just his grace my soul must own. Not my guilt and not my goodness does a passing angel see. Just the blood upon the doorway. Just the blood of Calvary. It's the blood of the cross. And the blood is applied. Exodus chapter 12. Now when you come to Isaiah 53, the Lamb of God is personified. For the first time in the Old Testament, we learn that the Lamb of God is going to be a person. And Isaiah wrote, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He's speaking of the Lamb of God, who was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. The Lamb of God is personified in Isaiah 53. Now when you come to John 1, John 1 and 29, the Lamb of God is identified. He's identified. John the Baptist looked, and he cried, behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. John wasn't speaking by himself. John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and he was filled with the Spirit because and for the work that he would do. And the time came when God did to John the Baptist what he does to each one who ever gets saved. John 10 says, "He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." And the day came when he called John the Baptist by name, and he led him out, and the sheep respond to the shepherd's voice. And John the Baptist did. So in John 1 and 29, the Lamb is identified. Oh, when you get to Revelation chapter 5, you have that beautiful scene in glory in the midst of the throne and of the 24 elders stood the Lamb as it had been slain. Here the Lamb is magnified. The Lamb is magnified. He's exalted above all, for he's the only one worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. When you get over to Revelation chapter 22, there the Lamb is glorified for the throne of God and of the Lamb is there in the city. It's the throne of God. It's the throne of the Lamb. Here we have the Lamb glorified. The theme of the Scriptures, friends, is the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So we ask the question tonight, do you know the Lamb? Do you know the Lamb? John the Baptist testified, "I knew him not." There was a time when John the Baptist was ignorant of Jesus Christ. He testified that, "I knew him not." My friend, do you know him? In Abel, the lamb was for the individual. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. In Exodus 12, the lamb is for the household. The household was safe because of the blood. In Leviticus 16, on the Israel's Day of Atonement, the lamb is for the nation. But when you get to John 1 and 29, the lamb is for the world. "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, let me ask you, you know the Lamb? The Lamb of God, you know him. Let us consider tonight, first of all, the manner of John's conversion. In verse 31, and again in verse 33 of John chapter 1, we read the words, "And I knew him not." I knew him not. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, over and over again, we have the thought of Israel's ignorance. When you read verse 10, we read, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." They knew him not. When you look down at verse 26, John spoke to the nation, and he says to the nation, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not." The nation knew him not. And when you get down to verse 31 and verse 33, John had to confess himself, "I knew him not. I knew him not." Oh, my friend, to be saved is to know the Lamb, and he didn't know the Lamb either. The world was ignorant of him, the nation was ignorant of him, and John himself was ignorant of him. Well, how did John get to know him? He got to know him by identifying him as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And by the way, this is how anybody ever gets to know him. They come to know Christ as the Lamb of God. John was raised in a godly family. His father was a Levite. He was a priest. He knew what it was to offer the ministrations of the temple. And it was while he was offering at the altar of incense that the angel Gabriel announced to him that he was going to be the father of John the Baptist. And John was brought up in a godly home. For it says that his mother and his father walked in the commandments of the Lord blameless. But John was still ignorant of the Lamb. He knew a lot about him, but he didn't know him. And there's a big difference, friends. Remember what we said about faith? The first element of saving faith is knowledge. John knew a lot about him, but he didn't know him. And being a Jew who was instructed in the Old Testament scriptures, I'm sure he knew what Abraham said to Isaac on Mount Moriah that day when Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" And he said, Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice." And when the day came and the Spirit of God revealed the Lord Jesus to him, for as he looked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I've often wondered what John's voice was like that day when he uttered those tremendous words. Nothing was ever said like it. This is the Lamb of God. This is God's Lamb. This is God's remedy for sin. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, John had been informed by the Holy Spirit, that the one on whom the Spirit of God descends like a dove, this is the Son of God. Now the dove in Scripture is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Noah sent forth the raven and the dove out of the ark? After judgment, the raven and the dove were sent forth. Genesis chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Now the raven, he never came back to the ark. You see, the raven is a symbol of the man of the flesh who goes out into a judged world and he can find satisfaction there. That's the raven, the flesh. Can find satisfaction in a judged world. And the Bible says the world is judged. The Lord Jesus said, when he has come, the Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. Of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. But the raven found a place in a judged world. And the flesh will always find satisfaction in a judged world. The raven never came back to the ark, but the dove did. The dove came back, and you see, the dove was sent out again, and he came back again. He returned again to the ark. In other words, the dove kept returning to the ark until judgment was passed. For the dove could never find an abiding place as long as judgment was there. But you know, when the Lord Jesus came, under the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and went. Came and went. But he abode on Christ. Here's the one in whom the Father is well pleased. And this is unique, friends. He abides with his people in this age forever. Do you know why? You and I have a unique place with Christ. The Bible says we're in Christ, and Christ is in us. And the Holy Spirit abides upon him. And to John the Baptist, it was told that when he sees the one on whom the Spirit of God comes and abides upon, this is he who is indeed the Son of God. And the dove abode upon our Lord Jesus. And when John the Baptist saw this, he identified him. Behold, the Lamb of God. This is it. This is it. Here's the sin bearer. Here's the one who can deal with my sin. Here's the one who taketh away the sin of the world. Now, it's quite interesting when you read this. The scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in this passage, John the Baptist confesses Christ. And I want you to notice the sevenfold confession that John the Baptist makes of Christ. First of all, he testified as to his preexistence. He said, he was before me. This is what he said. He said, he was before me, and he preferred him before me. In verse 27, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me. And in the other place it says, for he was before me. He testified as to Christ's preexistence. Friends, the Lord Jesus didn't begin to exist when he came to the earth. He ever was. He is the eternal Son of God. Furthermore, he testified to his lordship. In verse 23, he said of him, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He testified to the lordship of Christ even before he knew him. Even before he knew him. Before he looked to him as the Lamb of God, he testified as to his lordship. Third, he testified as to his immeasurable superiority. For he says, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes latchet. Oh, what a testimony John gave. My friend, this great salvation that we're participators in, and those of us who are saved that we are possessors of, it is a salvation we do not earn. It is a salvation that we are not worthy of. It is all of grace. And John the Baptist said, I have the greatest privilege anyone could ever have. Of them born of women, I'm the greatest. But I'm not worthy of it. He's superior. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and tie his shoelaces. Oh, what a testimony, friends. You and I don't deserve to be saved. If God gave us what we deserve, he'd send us to a Christless eternity. But here we have another illustration of the matchless grace of God. But notice the fourth part of his testimony. He testified to his sacrificial work. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. It's the Lamb. There isn't any other. Furthermore, he testified as to his moral perfections. He said the dove abode upon him. Never before upon any man, but it abode on him, on Christ. Furthermore, he testified to his divine right to baptize with the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is a baptizer, not the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is. The one in whom we are baptized is the Holy Spirit. And verse 33, he says, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. And then finally, he testified as to his divine sonship. In verse 34, he says, I saw and I bear record, this is the Son of God. My, what a conversion. What a conversion. Here's a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. He had the privilege of identifying the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. He could testify, I saw and bear record. My record is true. This is the Son of God. What a conversion. By the way, you'd never expect John the Baptist to have any problems, would you? No problem with assurance. But he did. In spite of this great experience, John the Baptist was just like us. He had a problem with assurance. Turn over to Matthew 11. Now, how did John get saved? He got saved the same way you and I get saved. How did John the Baptist get assurance? He got it the same way you and I get assurance. The very same way. Matthew chapter 11, we read these words, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when Jesus had heard in the prison, when John had heard in the prison, John is now a prisoner of Herod. When he heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Did John have a problem? He sure did. By the way, let's be honest. Did you ever have a problem this way? Wondering, am I really saved or am I not? You see, there's a test comes to every one of us, whether we want it or whether we don't. Sooner or later, we have to settle it. Am I really saved? And John the Baptist has problems. And he didn't have television. He didn't have television to listen to a preacher who said something good is going to happen to you today. He never got to hear that. You see, and he's in jail. Boy, he's in prison. And he's listening and he hears about the fame of the Lord. He's hearing about his miracles and the things that he's doing. And John calls two of his disciples and said, look, go ask him, are you really the Messiah? Or is someone else going to come? Are you really the one? If you are, have you forgotten about me? May I ask you, did you ever think that the Lord has forgotten about you? Ever feel that way? The Lord has deserted you? Many of God's people have. John the Baptist did. Oh, he felt that the Lord wasn't in his circumstances. And he sent two disciples. Now, what did the Lord say? Now, look, you just go back and tell John, no fear, I'm the Messiah. He never said that to him. He never said that to him. And he's not going to say it to you either. He's going to give to you the same thing that he gave to John the Baptist. This, to me, is the most comforting thing there is. To me, this is the most blessed comfort I can find. What did he say? Verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Now when they came back with that message, John says, I already know that. That was the cause of my problem. When I heard of his fame, I said, is this really the Messiah? And he says, you just go tell John to take another look. The deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised. Is that how the Lord works? Yes. That's how the Lord works. What did he really tell him? He said, John, search the scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures say in Isaiah 35 that when the Messiah comes, the blind are going to see, the deaf are going to hear, the dead are going to be raised. The miracles of the kingdom are going to follow the king. And I'm the king and I'm here. I'm here. I testify to what? The word of God. To man he cries out, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. How am I going to get assurance? The same place I get saved. The word of God. It is the word of God which reveals the person of Christ to the heart. And all my friends will never have assurance if we do not read and meditate on the Word of God. But then our Lord added something to John. And he says in verse 6, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." In other words, may I paraphrase that as one translation puts it, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of the way I conduct my business." God doesn't ask you how to do it. He doesn't ask me. He does it his way. All things. And oh, my friend, how did John get saved? He got saved by looking to the Lamb of God. In spite of the tremendous experience of conversion he had, the time came that he had doubts. And the time comes to you and the time comes to me when we have to face the acid test of reality. Is my Christianity real? Is it real? John the Baptist was put to the test. Where? In prison. And ours is put to the test as well. And our Lord says, "Now blessed is he who is not offended in the way in which I conduct my affairs, the way in which I conduct my business." And I must confess, I have many times told the Lord, "You don't do things the way I do them." He does things differently than I do them, I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you this, he has a perfect track record. He's never made a mistake, but I've made a lot of them. And he always brings me back to one thing, the Word of God. It's the Word of God that tells me I have life. It says, "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Well, how do I get the Son? By receiving him. To as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, friends, God has shut us up to grace, and he has shut us up to his Word. We have nowhere else to turn but to the Word of God. It is the Word of God that reveals the person of Christ. You can't sit in a dark room and listen to music and find Christ. That's not how he's found. He's found in the page of Holy Scripture. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, "To do thy will, O God." And we find Christ in the volume of the book. Are you saved? Do you have the assurance that you're his? The problem with most people today is we watch too many movies and too many TV programs which show that everything comes out all right in the end. Everything is all right in the end. And Satan has blinded the minds of them who believe not to keep them from the only one who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in blinding the mind and the will and the heart, as we noticed this morning, people are deceived by the enemy. And they remain in their sins. And those who trust Christ are weak, many of them, because they do not spend time in his Word. God strengthens us through the Word. And my illustration of what it means to be saved is like a man in an apartment building that there's a fire escape connected to the apartment building. And you know that fire escape is out there. And most people have seen so many movies that everything comes out all right in the end, that the fire escape is out there, and we realize that the building we're in is on fire. Now the average person that you speak with will acknowledge that something's wrong, and that judgment is ahead. Even the world sings about the judgment day. The building's on fire. But what do? We don't worry too much about it. Oh, there's a fire escape out there. Everything comes out all right in the end. So we pick up our trinkets. This trinket and that trinket. Oh, the trinkets of church membership. We pick it up and we think it's oh so nice. And we pick up this another trinket. The trinket of good works. And we pick up the trinket that my mother-in-law had. There's a Mrs. Jones lived down the street from her. And after my wife got saved, she was still my girlfriend. Because I knew that if she doesn't trust the Lord, we can't go on with this relationship. There has to be a genuine oneness here. And I can't see living with someone the rest of my life who's going to hell when I'm going to heaven. This is something that has to be settled. And if the Lord doesn't call her to himself, this is going to have to end. And my wife trusted the Lord. She was still my girlfriend at that time. She still was my girlfriend a couple years later. And you want to know something, young people? I lived in central Pennsylvania, and she lived 180 miles west. And I told her I'd never see her the first Sunday of the month. That was Bible conference Sunday. And I won't see her the third Sunday of the month. That was jail Sunday. That's the Sunday I went to jail. Every third Sunday, I knew I was going to be locked up. And that's when we went to preach the gospel in the prison. You see, I realized something. I wish young people could realize that today. If a person can't share my Savior before we're married, that Christ has to be first. I'm going to have a rugged life afterward. If I can't put him first in my dating life, when I'm dating, I knew that once we're married, we're going to be living together and we'll have each other. And it will be a novel experience. But until that time, there's things that are most important. Priority number one is Jesus Christ. And she knew better than to look for me when I could be down at the prison telling a few poor sinners how to be saved. That was more important than dating. See, I was a strange character. But you see, I was saved. Christ meant everything to me. And he still does. That has never changed. But oh, we pick up our trinkets, don't we? In this burning building. We think that this building is, that it's going to remain. And we continue picking up this trinket and that trinket. And finally, when the smoke gets heavy enough, and we begin to feel the heat, well, I know where there's a fire escape. And we go to get on the fire escape. And we realize that the fire escape itself he's on fire. Now what am I going to do? There's no escape. The fire escape's on fire. And in our consternation, we drop all our trinkets. And we cry out in desperation, Lord, save me, or I perish. And we turn to the Word of God that says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we look to the Lamb of God and we say, you're the only one. All my trinkets are worthless. You're the only one who can save, Lord Jesus. It's not a matter now of me receiving you. It's a matter of you receiving me. Will you have me, a guilty sinner? For I'm lost. I have no claim on God. Neither do you. It's not a matter of you receiving him. Will he receive you? And the Word says, the Lord Jesus speaking, he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And there in that time of utter desperation, the sinner is saved. See, John the Baptist was saved when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You and I are saved by beholding the Lamb of God when we drop all our trinkets and just behold Him. He's the one that the Father gave. He's the Savior mighty to save. And oh, my friend, we have a salvation that saves. We have a Redeemer that redeems. We have a propitiation that propitiates. We have a justification that justifies. And it's yours by coming to Christ. I ask you tonight, will you look to the Lamb of God? Before the Lamb of God comes in glory, for then it's too late. Today is a day of salvation. That's how John got saved. And that's how I got saved. What about assurance? We get assurance the same way, coming to the Word of God. How about it? Can you sing tonight, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine"? Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Ah, that's the key. You know, for many weeks, John the Baptist could sing that. But God put it to the test. And there in the jail, he learned how to sing it again. And he sang it again with the same basis, the Word of God. And so can we. Let's pray. O God our Father, who can be compared to Thee? Thy ways are perfect. We would not seek to interfere with the way in which You conduct Your business, the way in which You call sinners to Yourself, the way in which You deal with us in divine grace. We thank You tonight that You call Your own sheep by name and You lead them out. We thank You, our Father, that we can say, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." We ask You now that You will receive our grateful thanks for this time of being together. Dismiss us with Thy blessing. May Thy word go with us each one to our respective homes in conviction or comfort, according as the need may be. May it please Thee, our Father, to work in each of us that which is well-pleasing in Thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.